Coming up in the second half of Current State, are common insecticides a growing threat to mid-Michigan's bird populations? There are people who think so. We'll explore that. Also, the Free Press's Joe Rexroad on NCAA Sweet 16 action for Michigan State and some grassroots leaders on the neighborhood level here in Lansing. You're listening to Current State. This is 90.5 WKAR. Current State here on 90.5 WKAR. The American Bird Conservancy released a report last week calling for a ban on widely used insecticides suspected of damage to bird and aquatic populations. WKAR's Peter Worf spoke with MSU Assistant Professor of Zoology Dr. Pamela Rasmussen about the class of insecticides containing neonicotinoids.
The review article that the American Bird Conservancy did shows that there's a lot more reason to worry about toxicity to birds of this class of pesticides than has been acknowledged. And that, for example, a single coated grain of corn can kill a bird the size of a blue jay. And that's just a single grain of corn, but this is a persistent class of chemicals. They do degrade quickly in sunlight, but when they're not exposed to sunlight, then they're very persistent up to 3 years in the soil. And so, especially if people are not paying close attention to directions, then the levels can build up extremely rapidly to the point where it's hard to imagine why we still have birds in some places. And it's not just lethal levels that are of concern. It's sublethal or chronic levels that are of concern, because birds have to be in good condition. They can't be carrying a heavy pesticide load in order to reproduce, in order to survive. So a lethal dose is one thing, and a chronic dose is another thing. And the doses that are recommended are much higher than anything that can be considered safe. And it's not just to immediate bird survival, but it's also to food webs, because anytime you kill the food supply, you're going to kill you're going to have birds that die and can't reproduce.
How widespread are these chemicals, or how widely used are they? Where could we expect to find these?
Everywhere. They are the most widely used class of pesticides now. They have replaced earlier pesticides that were more lethal to mammals, but apparently these are as lethal to or more to certain other groups, such as aquatic invertebrates, certainly honeybees, possibly birds. What happened with the earlier class of pesticides was evolution of insecticide resistance. So these have been adopted very widely, and they're used worldwide. There are hundreds of different varieties, and they're in many, many chemicals that are readily available.
These were chemicals that were also linked in some way with honeybee decline. And I remember that 2 or 3 years ago, people looking around and saying, what's happened to all the bees?
I want to say I'm not an expert on honeybees, but it is widely known, and there are many studies, both scientific studies as well as agricultural reports, that honeybees are in a serious, serious state of decline. It's been termed colony collapse disorder. And basically, the honeybees become disoriented and desert their colonies if they don't die immediately. And it's now been shown that this seems to have a multitude of causes, but one of them, a very prominent one, seems to be this class of neonicotinoids, insecticides. And partly it's the fact that they're systemic, so the bees are getting the pesticide through the pollen that they're collecting. And partly it's because when treated seeds are applied, the dust blows off, and that is very, very lethal to the bees. So there's a whole bunch of different ways that bees are affected, and it's very important because bees do our pollination. Most of our non-cereal plants, anyway, are animal pollinated, and bees do most of that. And we don't get fruit crops or nut crops without bee pollination.
Dr. Rasmussen, could you comment on what this report might imply?
This is a very sobering report. We tend to assume that things have gotten better since there are tests and there are requirements for environmental impact assessments, et cetera, and pesticides can't just be automatically registered for use. But it seems that there's a great deal of cutting corners and underfunding and ignoring of results, et cetera, that goes into some of these decisions. And that the American Bird Conservancy's report makes for very sober reading, and to think that these chemicals are being used very, very widely all over the world in untold quantities is of great concern.
Assistant Professor of Zoology and Assistant Curator at the MSU Museum, Dr. Pamela Rasmussen, thank you very much for the conversation, both on the update on this new issue and the history as well. Thank you.
Thank you.
For Current State, this is Peter Whorf.